Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and if you're feeling overwhelmed with all the holidays, well, sit back and relax because we've got two delightful guests today, Amy Zerner and Monty Farber, and they have some of the most wonderful tools to work with regarding development of your own psychic intuitive abilities. I want to welcome Amy and Monty to the airwaves. Thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you, Donna.
I know before we went on air you were saying, gee whiz, it's so nice the holidays are over with. I agree. They're not quite over with because New Year's is coming up. But, oh, my goodness, it just seems like everything gets so hectic. And it's so nice to have you on the air today because I have in front of me so many different tools for intuitive development that the two of you have put together, and in fact, the latest one, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, it's the Enchanted Tarot, and you have just put so much work into these products, and my audience needs to know more about you. First, how did the two of you link up, because you're hubby and wife? How did you two ever get together so that you could combine your marvelous talents?
Well, back in 1974, Amy and I met at the filming of a porno movie, actually.
Oh, gee.
Sorry you asked.
Oh, well, everybody's got to have a story.
Yeah. It was a clean scene. It was a rooftop party scene, and I was a musician. I was hired to play in the band that played at the rooftop party scene in New York City, and Amy was the friend of my then-girlfriend, and we met and we hit it off.
Well, so we have a new book called The Soulmate Path about relationships.
Oh.
It's just out January 1st. You never know where you're going to meet your soulmate. So we always like people to be open-minded about that and not have any preconceived notions.
Right, because here we are, you know, doing all these metaphysical and spiritual things, and that's where we met. Can't lie.
35 years later, together, we're blissfully happy. It gets better all the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I think because we share this spiritual commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I remember I used to buy a lot of books from Wisers, and Soulmate Path is being published by Wisers, so I'm very proud of that.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll need to get a copy of that. You'll have to pop that off to me. So,
definitely.
But the Enchanted Tarot that you mentioned?
Yes.
It was actually published in 1991, and it's being redone as a new package and a new cover this year.
Yes,
and that's done through Connections.
That's
publishing.
Correct, and it's being distributed once again by Wisers, Red Wheel, Wiser,
mm-hmm.
Canary Press, and
well,
we're very proud of that as well.
Well, you should be, and one of the things that I have found so interesting, Amy, you really are quite the artist, and
thank you.
You have been involved with clothing design, and of course all of this can be seen on your website, but your artistic dimension is quite eclectic, and it goes across quite a broad spectrum.
I think of myself as a collage artist, and,
mm-hmm.
and our website, by the way, is theenchantedworld.com. And the technique that I use, for instance, to illustrate the Enchanted Tarot, it's all bits and pieces of vintage ribbons and lace and fabrics and embellishments. They're very complex, all sewn together. And that actually led to me doing fashions, which I show at Bergdorf Goodman, the most fabulous store in the world. And so I do a very high-end line of fantasy clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I like creating everything. I create jewelry, and then we do our books. I love everything equally. They're all our children. And Monty does all the words that go with my art.
Mm-hmm. Now, Monty, let's talk about this, because you yourself are very psychic. Both of you are highly intuitive. And let me ask you each individually, because my audience is so interested in this. They're always interested in people's personal stories. Monty, how did you discover your own particular skills, and what is your favorite way of working with a tool, let's say, in your intuition?
Well, when I first met Amy, she was studying astrology and the tarot, and I was studying Amy. So I learned astrology and the tarot, and I was astounded. It sort of became, they became our language of love. And I've done thousands of readings with for people with doing their chart and doing tarot readings. But I have, since 1996, when unfortunately Amy's mom passed away, and we missed her so much that I wanted to contact her, because we all live together and work together, I have been primarily working as a psychic. And I now do bi-monthly psychic predictions for Jim Cramer's website, thestreet.com. I'm the only psychic that they allow on there to do financial predictions. I'm about 6 out of 7. And I've been doing, predictions, and I work mainly for corporations doing analysis of strategic moves for them.
But he honed his craft by doing many, many readings with the cards, and our kits that we designed for everyone to be able to do their own readings, we make it very accessible. And it's, as you practice, you get more and more psychic.
Yeah, because I would write books, and I think it's the... Because I was not really born psychic, though I guess I had quite the latent talent. But I would write, since Karma Cards in 1988, which has also been reissued, and the Enchanted Tarot, all these books over the years, I would always write and say, and if you do this, you'll become more intuitive. And lo and behold, you really do become more intuitive, to the point where if it becomes your language of love and if it becomes an everyday expression, you do become psychic as you learn to trust it, because fear is actually the thing that keeps us from listening to that quiet voice that's speaking to us all the time.
Well, one of the things I know I have found with tools is they allow you to develop a focus of concentration.
Yep,
and
that's right.
We're so busy. Our minds just go into 10,000 different directions. I found that just maybe writing down a concern on a piece of paper and then being able to, let's say, work with the cards or with a pendulum or grass clippings, whatever happened to be good for that day.
I like grass clippings.
You do? Yeah, it's better than the goat entrails.
Yeah.
It's better than the goat entrails, I'll tell you. Anyway, there's always been all kinds of tools, and it's that focusing of concentration so you do relax and trust.
Yes.
And you make it a ritual. Mm-hmm. So you're taking that little time out to really listen and think about what your question is, because so often the answer is in the question.
Mm-hmm. And I love looking at astrology charts and using karma cards and the Enchanted Tarot and all the other tarots that we've done, and using all the kits, because now for me they're fun. I look at them. Sometimes I forget that I've invented them,
mm-hmm.
and I use them as a way where I don't have to just reach into the unknown, which is when you're doing psychic readings, it could be anything. And this does, like as you say, help you focus and give you answers that you can then bounce off of.
Also, I think of the cards as a trusted friend. They're always there to help you tune in. And we always, like you say, modern life is so crazy and distracting and complicated that you need some way to help you tune in, whether it's whatever your meditation practice or your spiritual practice. But the cards, to me, are always available. They're like a little computer.
Yeah, we think of the tarot and astrology as early forms of Google, because you have a question, you look, and there's your answer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
mm-hmm.
that immediate, really.
Yeah, and that's so true. Now, I wanted to mention some of the other things that you have done besides the tarot, because I think the tarot, the artwork on the tarot cards is just exquisite, and you do have more than one. You have, in fact, a Discovery Kit guidebook for people that are just wanting to explore.
Yeah, we have the Tarot Discovery Kit, which comes with a DVD and a book.
Mm-hmm. And the cards actually come to life on the DVD.
And it comes with
music and a narration, which makes it really easy, an easy way to learn the tarot.
Yeah, well, our specialty is taking an esoteric subject and making it easy. And at the same time, if someone has a strong grounding in tarot, they're still going to learn a lot of things in there, because we put as much as we know at the time. We put our best into everything we do.
Well, and that shows. I mean, the products, the way they're packaged, everything is just first quality.
Thank you.
The other item that you have is you have something on the chakras.
Yes.
The meditation and, you know, bringing in balance. You have all of this information as well. And Monty, this is something that you really got quite involved with. This was a very special project for you, and you include what you call the cards, and they're beautifully illustrated. Obviously, it's Amy's work, but they're like mandalas that are there.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Amy did all the chakras as art pieces, and then I collaborated with a friend, Luigi Colarulo, who's a wonderful Italian musician and producer, usually does film scores, and we did a CD that comes with the chakra meditation kit that's that helps you go through your chakras.
And each chakra score is done in the key that is affiliated with each chakra. So we have it working with the colors of the artwork, and we have the affirmations that you meditate on, and then we have the music that puts you in that balanced state, and then we lead you. We have also have a very quick 1 minute chakra cleanse.
Yes, it's we filled up the CD. We were almost worried that we were going to. There's so much on it, but
we jam pack all of our kits.
Mm-hmm.
And
right?
And it's my voice. I do the meditations, and it's not your what do they say? It's not your grandma's chakra kit, because. It's even though it's loving and it's true to the chakras, I have a tendency to read it as a strong thing, because the chakras represent energy centers, and energy to me is strong. Even when it's coming through the gentle chakras, it's still very strong. So I present it in a very strong way, and I'm very proud of it. We get a lot of wonderful letters about it.
It's sort of like a rockin' chakra kit.
Yeah, I like that, Amy. Rockin' chakras.
Rockin' chakras. And then you have the Fortune Bell, Secrets of the Fortune Bell. Now,
yes.
This is something, why did you become interested in
Feng Shui?
The Feng Shui, yes.
Well, many years ago, when we first started hearing about Feng Shui, we consulted a master and made some changes in our house, and it was just astounding. We have been ourselves getting acupuncture since 1979, which is such an amazing way to rebalance your body. And I think of feng shui as acupuncture for your home. So little by little over the years, studying more and more and learning more about it, we wanted to make an easy little kit that anyone can open up. Well, people don't have time to study.
Like you said.
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the feng shui kit comes with a bell and a book. It's a great housewarming gift to give people, because it tells you where to put the bell for various purposes, whether to bring wealth into your life or to bring a better job or helpful friends. There's all different kinds of feng shui attitudes. And we have had our house feng shuied about 4 or 5 years ago by a Chinese feng shui master again, and it was a woman this time. And I have to tell you, it's astounding.
And we learned much more from her, but even on a simple level, it works so well. And we have a little map of the Bagua, so how you enter the room and where to hang the bell, and little rituals. All of our books and tools have little rituals and meditations and affirmations and visualizations that are quick to do, easy to do, but very effective.
And the products that you've described so far are some of our best sellers. They just print year after year, and we're very glad.
And by the way, we have our own shelves in the spirituality section of every Barnes & Noble. So if some of your audience are looking for our books, often we've done so many books and tools that they take up 2 or 3 shelves in the spirituality section.
Well, that's very good to know. Let's talk about feng shui a little bit more.
Sure.
You said that this lady had come into your house. This
mm-hmm.
is the second person that was very much an expert. What was the biggest change that you made? Because you have your map in your little book that is very clear, that talks about where you put the little bells for wealth and prosperity. That's like in, if you're standing, let's say you've got the door right in front of you, you open
the
room.
Yeah, that's the far left.
It's to the far left corner. And then fame and reputation, love and relationships, you've got a spot for creativity and children, health and well-being, family and friends, knowledge and wisdom, career and life path, and helpful people.
Well,
so,
it's a good question that you asked, how she helped us, because, you know, we've done 40 books, and we make a good living from what we do, but we're not the kind of authors that get a lot of publicity.
Nor have mm-hmm. we sought it. And then, so
well,
she
because we're kind of private. We're happy in our enchanted world. So she saw our fame and reputation being blocked by two forked trees in front of our house.
In other words, two trees that grow out of the same base. Like she mm-hmm. calls it a forked tree. And in feng shui, they don't like them. And she said it's blocking this particular energy for you to get more recognition. Because our books do well, and Amy's clothing does very well in her art, but not very many people know about us. So then
they know, yeah, they know about our books, but not necessarily about us as personalities. So she advised that we cut down those trees, and it was a very big decision for us because
we don't like to cut down anything.
We don't like to cut down a living tree, and also it had been in our house. We've lived in the same house for so long, and we're sentimental. We made up our minds that we were going to follow her advice. She was such an expert.
Well, it also helped that one of the pieces of the forked tree almost fell on the house. So.
well, anyhow, since then, like I was saying about the shelves in Barnes & Noble, which is such a coup for an author to have permanent shelves.
Yeah, and that's then
that happened.
And then
a month after we cut down the tree.
And then the thing with Jim Cramer happened, and that's every 2 months. And then I've been on Fox a lot doing predictions, believe it or not, in psychic things on the Strategy Room with Alan Combs.
And I sell at Bergdorf Goodman, which is an amazing position to be in as a designer anyway, but now I'm like a regular.
Yeah.
I have the best spot in the store. So we know it all works. So
it's worth a try. Your question was really interesting to me because the biggest change that she made was not actually in our home. It was in the backyard next to this big boulder that had been moved there. And we have sort of a little shrine to Amy's mother and a couple of our cats and Amy's grandmother. And we had gotten a really nice angel statue, and we had placed it in one position. And when she found out what it was, she insisted that I move the statue that second. And I never had realized how into ancestor worship or I wouldn't call it worship, but mm-hmm. they certainly take them into consideration as if they're alive. She made me move it, and she made me completely redo that area. And that was, she said, you're lucky that these people who are past loved you, or else you wouldn't be doing too well right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to our doing a kit called the Spirit of the Ancestors Altar Kit, so that everyone could erect an altar anywhere, wherever they are, and travel with it to honor their ancestors. Because in China, that is taken into consideration in every decision.
All mm-hmm. of our kits are sort of a diary of our own evolution and our own life and things that really work for us and that have really helped us, and we like to make them available for everyone in a beautiful and effective way.
Yeah, because we know not everyone lives in a house with a backyard, and we know, so we try to do things for everybody so that they can partake and live in an enchanted world the way we like to try and live in an enchanted world ourselves, because the world sometimes is fighting with the enchanted.
Well, I think that has always been the truth. I think that's just a part of life. Now, some of the essential feng shui tips that you give is making it a practice to remove shoes before entering your home.
Yes, we've always done that. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of the things people do instinctively. And it's also a lot of things that animals do instinctively.
Yeah, like you'll never see a cat sitting with his back to the door.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you do, the cat's not feeling well.
Very good point. And cleaning up clutter, fixing leaks, making sure everything's in good working order.
Yes, and they're big on leaving the toilet seat down.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what there's a very good reason for that.
Well, they don't want the energy to go flowing out through the pipes.
Mm-hmm. But another thing that happens there, if anybody's ever been in an outhouse, they'll know that there are gases that are produced. So when you put the toilet lid down, that keeps gases from going out into the room as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and feng shui means wind and water. So
yes. So that's one of the real good reasons why.
And they're big on having burners for your stove should always be clean. And
I mean, a lot of it is symbolic, but the clutter thing, I always, and you probably think this way too, that it's, you can make the metaphor that it's your mind, if your mind's too cluttered and distracted, it goes hand in hand with your house being all cluttered.
She did interesting things. She made me round the corner on the wall going upstairs in our home. Our front entrance to our home, we have, you know, it's a Cape Cod, and it's problematic in terms of feng shui. But she said that this would smooth the energy out. They don't like sharp corners.
Mm-hmm. And these cures, like, for instance, the wind chime that we have in our Secret of the Fortune Bell kit, they're cures to smooth out that energy in corners or ground it or make it flow better. So people use mirrors and wind chimes and plants,
mm-hmm,
for things like that.
And electric lights.
Lights, too.
They like lights. I mean, if it was up to them, I think they'd have us leave our Christmas trees up all the time.
I like to play with artworks, you know, of course, since I'm an artist, because, you know, if you're looking at your money corner and you think green, or you think things that symbolize money or prosperity in your life, that's what you can also put in that corner. Or for in your marriage corner, you put romantic images and things that are symbolic. So it's really fun to play with feng shui.
And it's taken very seriously by Chinese people. And if you go to a Chinese restaurant, you'll see that if you look for it, it's everywhere.
There's always a fish tank lots of times.
Yeah, and you'll see red. The emperor red is a very good color for success. If you pay someone in China, you pay them, you put the money in an envelope, and it's an emperor red envelope with gold on it. They're very interested and they don't just do it for ceremonial reasons. They do it because they think this is the way the energy flows smoothly.
So we think a lot about the signs and symbols in life, and we like to study what different cultures use for signs and symbols. And so often things in different cultures kind of cross paths,
That's true.
Think of astrology or guiding spirits or ancestor worship. I mean, it pops up in so many cultures and it becomes a universal law.
Oh, yes. I think especially when I was looking at the Spirit of the Ancestors altar kit. And for anyone that is familiar with Native American culture or with the Asian culture, there is so much that has been there in that environment. And I know in the Western culture, so often, that has been poo-pooed, if you will.
Yes.
But I think respecting the elders and honoring many things that have gone before, it doesn't mean that you don't respect where you are. It means you appreciate what's gone before you, because we always stand on the shoulders that have gone before.
That's true.
Especially with our DNA.
And as a psychic, I'm always in contact and having running conversations with people who are no longer on this plane. And I know that whether it's true or not, you know, because skeptics will think it's not true, whether it's true or not, it makes you feel connected.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself, once again, reduces the level of fear and anxiety, and fear short circuits your nervous system, as does anxiety. So it helps you to make better decisions, and making better decisions is all about having a successful life.
And speaking of ancestors and spirits, we want people to know that they don't, you know, they like to be asked. They don't just help you unless you ask.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people are waiting around for something to happen. And it's very important to put your intention and ask for help.
One of the interesting things in my life was that I was in an honor English class in high school. And we studied the Bible as a secular book. And I read a lot of the Bible that way. It's been helpful my whole life. And in the Bible, it says, I stand at the door and knock, and those who invite me in, I will come in and sup with them. And if God won't come in unless you ask him, I don't think anybody else is going to be coming in.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I think it has to do with the focus that you were talking about. It's the focus of energy.
It is. And again, I think tools can be very helpful to people. Anything that can help center someone.
Yes.
Allowing them to touch that part of themselves, call it the higher self, the God self, whatever terminology you want to use. Semantics are always up for grabs anyway.
Sure.
But whatever is comfortable for a person, that enables you to recognize that there is something that is greater than you are that will give you the insights if you're willing to listen. And if you can calm down, these tools are very, very useful. Also, they are beautifully, beautifully done. Now, I know you have your website. Give us your website.
It's www.theenchantedworld.com.
Now, on this website, not only will you find out about the various publications that Amy and Monty have put together, but you will also find out about Amy's clothing design. You'll find out about all kinds of different points of information that they want to share with you. Now, I know we're going to be closing out in just a little bit of time here, and we've touched on so many of these wonderful publications that you have put out. With the Enchanted Tarot, that you have done, what is different about this deck from the Tarot deck in the Discovery Kit guidebook?
It's the size of it. It's the same artwork, but the Enchanted Tarot cards are larger,
mm-hmm.
and the Enchanted Tarot book is full color illustration and little stories. And also enchantments for each card. In the Tarot Discovery Kit, we have a smaller deck that is easier to use for some people with smaller hands. And the book that comes with it has a different approach, shorter, quicker messages mm-hmm. about each card, and plus a DVD.
Yeah, the Enchanted Tarot book was written when we came up with the approach of each card having a dream, an awakening, and an enchantment. So the dream is what's going on in Amy's art, which I wrote in a different way than most people write. I actually illustrated what I saw in Amy's tarot card. She did the 78 cards first, and then I started writing. So rather than the other way around. And then the awakening is what it means in a tarot reading, and the enchantment is a gentle ritual that helps you to reinforce the answer that you've gotten or to cope with an answer that's less than pleasing to you.
Well, I know we are out of time here. Again, go to Amy Zerner and Monty Farber. Any one of these tools are really fun. But if you're having a New Year's Eve party, if you're wanting to give a gift to yourself because you want to start off with something positive for the new year, why don't you look at checking them out at Barnes & Noble because they have the shelves there dedicated to their publications. And I think that it's something that you can have fun with. One of the joys of being able to use a tool is if you do have some time with friends and you're able to explore this together, sometimes some interesting things evolve, and it may open up a whole new world for you and also enable you to trust this intuitive side of yourself. Remember, you've already got the gift within you. It is a matter of opening it up, not unlike what Monty has done, practicing with it enough so that it becomes a part of you. You don't even give it a second thought because you're just doing it. Amy Zerner and Monty Farber, thank you so much for sharing your time with us this evening in New York. And I'm just so glad you were able to be with us today, and I wish you the best in all of your endeavors.
Thank you, Donna. Happy New Year.
Yes, thank you. New Year. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
It's a delight. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to be taking a break. Don't forget, go to theenchantedworld.com, Amy Zerner and Monty Farber. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Siebel. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast, with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. So delighted that you're able to join us today. And, hey, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. The new year is coming up real quickly, so give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Remember, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, well, I'll just give you what I see. And you're welcome then to ask me a question about anything that crosses your mind. So much is going on. Again, 888-815-9756. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know about you guys, but after the Christmas holidays, I just feel like I need to run about 5,000 miles to get rid of all of the caloric intake. But the truth is, it's just taking it one day at a time. And it's so much fun when you're out and about, because I had to make a lot of errand runs today before the show, so I was taking care of different things, and I was talking with one gal. I was in a bank, and she was saying, oh, I just don't know what to do with leftovers. I've got so much food left over. And she said, I finally was able to get rid of some of it within a couple of days. And then we had to have a birthday party for someone else, and I'm fixing some more food. And she said, now I've got more leftovers. So I thought I'd share with you a recipe, if I have the time today, for the equivalent of a chicken pot pie. But if you had ham leftover, or if you have not necessarily chicken, but turkey leftover, I think you might enjoy this recipe. So I'm going to be sharing that with you later on. But I wanted to, again, let you know, give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-815-9756. There's a delightful poem by Danny George. He said, snowflakes with fleeting faces call out, come and play, catch me on your tongue if you can, on this blustery winter's day. Wherever you are, I know certain parts of the country are just absolutely going through very, very uncomfortable weather. Well, that's what we had last year here in the Pacific Northwest, but I'll tell you what, it's gorgeous here. We didn't even have ice this morning. The sun is just putting its golden glow on everything, baptizing everything around, and the plants are loving it. Before we know it, though, we are going to be getting some of those storms that come through this time of the year. And, of course, That means that you do have to be aware of how you dress. Now, I know when I'm out early in the morning with the dogs and I'm taking them on their walks, from experience I've learned you always put on the appropriate clothing and you don't assume that things are going to be very comfortably warm and toasty because winds can come up, your chill factor can drop. So you just need to remember that you want to be sure that you layer your clothing. Assume nothing during winter. One of the things I learned when I traveled to Alaska, and I've been going up there for so many years, you always have an emergency kit in your vehicle. Now, if you're living in sunny California or balmy Florida, it may not be necessary, but in any other part of the country, wherever you're having stormy weather, having a good emergency kit that includes cables, includes an extra blanket, maybe some other things that you know could come in handy, if not just for yourself, for somebody else, because situations do occur. It really does make sense. Well, remember, when you're dressing warmly, you want to have something like a short sleeve shirt, something light that's put on first. And when I'm in real cold weather, there is like silk thermal wear. That is like a pullover sweater. It doesn't have long sleeves, but it just is very, very nice. Goes right over the chest. And then you put maybe a blouse or a shirt or a light sweater on onto that. And then, again, put your layers on. So if you do get warm, you can peel things off. But if it gets cold again, you've got stuff to put back on. And use natural fabrics whenever you can that are close to the skin so they're going to breathe. That's one of the reasons I like silk thermal underwear. It really does make a difference. Something that someone mentioned to me that I didn't give much of a thought to, but it makes sense. Make sure if you're going to be really active that you just have one layer of warmth or no more than two layers of warmth on your legs. Because if you're doing a lot of skiing, if you're going to be doing a lot of walking, your legs actually become fatigued if you layer them as heavily as you do your upper torso. And I thought that was amazing. I like long wool flax, lined wool flax. They are just wonderful. They look attractive. And you guys have been doing that for so long. It's just something we gals need to learn. Also, you want to be sure that you have something if you need it to wrap your face against wind. A good scarf is absolutely necessary. And just keep these little things in mind. I got one up in Alaska made out of Quiviet. This is musk ox wool, and that's about the only place you can get it. I'm sure you can order one online. These are made by the women of different Eskimo groups up in Alaska, and their skills are just absolutely amazing. And these scarves are exquisitely beautiful. But if you go online, it's Quiviet, Quiviet, and you can check it out, and you'll find some wonderful information on this. But it is actually warmer. It's considered the warmest wool in the world, and it's light as air. And I can tell you, having a scarf made of that, and if you're in 70 below zero temps like I've been, it'll keep your face from freezing. It'll keep you so warm. So they make it into like vests or caps. It's so lightweight you hardly know that you're wearing it. But, oh, my goodness, does it keep you warm. Well, think of those muskox. Look at the weather that they are in and they stand up against. And this is something that is out of the undercoat, which it keeps them insulated and warm. So it's really an absolutely wonderful material. So just a little bit of information there and then a little bit of trivia about pets. Do you have a pudgy pet? A lot of people do. Why? Because so often we overfeed them. But more than anything else, the animals aren't getting as much exercise. When I was at the vet's this was just last week, we were talking about food and pet food and different aspects. And he said, you know, I have labs that come into my office that are fat, and these dogs are getting only like 2 cups of food a day. Now, if you've ever had a lab, you know they're a good-sized dog. They're anywhere from 50 up to 100 pounds, depending on their size. And he said, what it is just the lack of exercise. In our world today, he said, the animals just are not out and about and running and hunting and doing the things that would have been in their normal environment. And he said, let's face it, during winter, how enthusiastic are you about getting up when it's dark outside. You're not. He said, it's just the natural way of things. So he said, we have to remember that our animals need exercise. Well, lots of times when the new year comes up, we're all looking at the expansion of our waistlines because of the holidays, and we go, oh my goodness, how am I going to manage this? And so we're all stressed out, and we think we've got to be on this mad, or involved in this mad scramble to keep ourselves trim and slim. Well, we think we need to put our animals on a diet too. Now, 1 in 4 cats and dogs is overweight. What does this do? Well, it creates problems with their joints, arthritis. They can end up with heart problems. Do you know they're just like us? They can end up with the exact same health problems. A vet once said if he wants to do research on animals, he studies human diseases, so then he's able to help the dogs. And this is very, very real. Now, the Imperial College London study that was done said if you cut back a little bit on food, less is more when it comes to the animals. And isn't that the truth with us as well? But also, remember, you want to be able to give them some exercise. And if you're out with them, that's helping you too. So it's very important. And kitties, oh my goodness. I've seen kitties that are just as wide almost as they are long. And you wonder how they can get around. But I know the cartoon Garfield, that really epitomizes the way that kitties can get. They say your pet's tummy should tuck up a bit at the flank area and not hang in a straight line. Also, you shouldn't be able to see your cat or dog's ribs, but you should be able to feel them with nothing but fur and a thin layer of fat in between. Also, your pet should have what they call an hourglass shape, broader at the shoulders, narrower at their waist, and broader again at the hips. But remember something. Don't just go and make up what you think your animal should do. Do some homework on this. Lots of times, a little bit more activity will make a difference. But also, sometimes the breed is broader. Sometimes they are, just like my little Scotty Terrier, Kenzie, that dog is solid muscle. And if you were look at her and then look at our other Scotty, Victor just naturally has a leaner style to his build. So they're very, very different. But as she's getting older, we have to really watch because she's not as active. And when she, you know, during the winter months, she does feel heavier because she doesn't want to go outside in the cold. She's 10 years old. She said, I don't need this. She's not unlike us. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. Give me a call if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, I want to let you know who's going to be coming up this week. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about the paranormal. Dan Millman is going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about his wonderful publication where he shares the stories of people's experiences. It's called The Bridge Between. And I know that you're going to enjoy this. And I know we've got a caller, but quickly I want to mention on Wednesday, we're going to be talking about healing foods. Elsie Collins is going to be my guest. It's the A to Z Guide. She is so informative in this publication. And then on Thursday, yes, the day before New Year's, by golly, we're going to be having an open mic day. So be sure and tell your friends, and we'll be taking calls from you through the entire hour. So let's show you how it's done on the Donna Sebo Show, and we're going to take our caller. Welcome to the show, first name or initial. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New Jersey, and my initials are HM.
All right, HM. Where in New Jersey are you calling from?
I'm in Bergen County, right near New York.
Oh, wow. You're just right across the water there.
I am.
All right, HM, let's get down to business with you. Now, the first thing that I am looking at here, it's like I'm seeing a dartboard. And as I'm looking at the dartboard, it seems like you're trying to hit the bullseye, and you're throwing the dart. Now, what's interesting to me in this mental movie that I'm getting, you are a fair distance away from the dartboard. You're throwing, the darts are going all over the place. Well, you go up and you go, I am going to get the bullseye. And what's happening is you're stepping closer to the board. You're throwing, now you're hitting different spots on the board, but you're still not getting to the bullseye. Then I'm seeing you moving a little bit closer, and you're getting closer to the bullseye, but you're still not getting it. And finally, you're so disgusted, you're taking a dart, you walk up to the board, and you stab the dart into the bullseye. You are really getting focused. I think that this year of 2009, we're not finished with it yet, but this year of 2009, you've had so many interferences, so many distractions, you couldn't really zone in on what was really what you wanted to focus on. You're getting closer. I would say probably by the 1st of March, you're going to find yourself saying, enough is enough. And that's when you go and you take the dart and you hit the bullseye. So you're really getting focused. You're really paying attention and you're giving what you want to see as a result, your entire attention. No distractions allowed. This is marvelous. It's really great because it's enabling you as an individual to be totally, completely together with what is most important to you. But the one thing I want you to be aware of, I don't want you to beat yourself up because you didn't meet your time frame. Understand that part of what's been going on here is that you're getting rid of a lot of the unnecessary stuff. And this is part of what you need to do. So I'm not concerned about you. You are doing beautifully. Just know that you are coming to that point of decisiveness and clarity of action that is going to serve you extremely well. Now, also what I am looking at is a sense of you're wanting to be more attentive to your own physical wellness. Not that I'm seeing you sickly. I'm not seeing that. But what I'm looking at is as if, again, you're taking a positioning of recognition and you're saying, I'm doing this for me. I'm not doing it to impress anybody else. I am doing it because it's the right thing for me to do for me. And that is very important because it's taking you a long time to get to that spot. So honor that, be true to it, and you are going to find the year 2010 is going to be setting a precedent for you. You're really going to feel like all of your work, all of your energy, all of your frustrations, all of your agitations are going to serve you the way they should serve you in 2010. What question would you like to ask me?
I work a part-time job that I really dislike.
Mm-hmm.
Some parts of it want to know if you see that ending. And obviously for that end to end, I need, you know, whether money's coming in from other places.
Well, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
This job that you're doing is keeping you grounded, which is very important on a part-time basis. So if you could do anything you wanted to do, what is it you'd want to give yourself a complete dedication to?
Creative work.
All right. If it's creative work, what kind of creative work? Would you want to write advertising? Would you want to be involved in magazine publishing? Because the creative world is a very, very vast one.
Singing and making music.
All right. If you're wanting to be involved in music, then what I want you to do is to really sit down and ask yourself, what is it with music that means so much to you? And this is very personal for you. Remember when I saw the dartboard and you're all over the place?
Yeah.
This is why it's going to take you some time to really figure out what you want to do. With some people, it might be trying to get a job at a studio or being involved with maybe a college and musical programs or perhaps working for a local musical store. You need to ask yourself, what is it about music that brings you such a sense of joy and fulfillment? And what are the various mediums that you could approach? It could be, again, something that has to do with a particular studio, or it might be getting involved in various industries that are associated with music. You need to find out about the industry itself, because you're right in the market area where you have more opportunity than you would in many other places of the country. So that's what I would look to. But you need to make the evaluations within yourself. And I would say, let's make it okay that you've got this part-time job. Just bless it. It's bringing those things into your life that you need. You're getting monetary. But what else could you explore? And this is a very good time of the year to explore, believe it or not. And start asking and talking to different people. And I would also go to some of the colleges that are in New York and in New Jersey that deal with music. And go in and talk to people and say, in this industry, what if I wanted to get involved with this industry, what kinds of work could I look for? Where could I put myself? And see what you come up with. Because I think it's right in your own backyard. Is it making sense?
There's some areas there that I hadn't thought of as far as getting, you know, as far as making money quickly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the making money quickly is not what the objective should be here. Making money is very important, don't get me wrong. But doing what you love and really finding that venue that will allow you to do exactly what you love, so that you can be in that industry.
Ideally, I want to perform.
Well, that can be part of step two. But there's no one easy fix here. That's where you have to really be centered and focused. I'm running out of time, dear. I've got to go.
Well, I thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate you, and a Happy New Year to you.
Well, Happy New Year. Thank you.
You're welcome, HM. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, the time just zipped on by, and we've just got so many wonderful guests this week, and wow, next week it's going to be a brand new year. So remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Wherever you are, have a delightful, delightful time, and count your blessings, and spend some time, and think about what it is that you would like to add to that blessing register that maybe you're going to put together, because I guarantee you the universe is not limited. Neither are you in what you can experience and enjoy. Donna Sebo here. Talk with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Have a fabulous, fabulous time when whatever you do. Be safe. Drive carefully. This is Donna. We'll talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.